Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Survival Jobs, a podcast in collaboration with Broadway World. You can find full video and article on Broadway World, and our audio is streaming anywhere that you get your podcast. My name is Samantha Dawn Titzelo, and this is my superstar co-host, Jason A. Coombs. Hi, Jason. Happy episode 68 or 7.
68. You're so funny.
Where are we?
Happy episode 68.
Thank you, baby.
Yeah. How are you feeling today?
Jason, I'm great. I'm feeling.
You're the superstar.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Come on.
No. I'm feeling great. I'm feeling very tired. I've had, you know, the last episode we spoke about, I was doing this benefit for the children's theater I grew up at. So that happened all last weekend, but I was like in rehearsals and also planning the party. And then it was just like a lot of adrenaline, a lot of people I haven't seen in a very long time. And it was amazing. We had a great night, great turnout. The theater made a ton of money. And then yesterday, Monday, April 24th, I did the carpet for the opening night of Goodnight Oscar for Broadway World, which was amazing and such a wonderful night. And it was so great to see the turnout for Sean Hayes in this play and the rest of the cast. So I'm just a little tired today, but like grateful and happy and enjoying the sunshine.
Love that. Same. Sun's beaming, birds are chirping today. It was a good day. I mean, but then that's so cool that you got to do that. And you were like on the red carpet looking so cute.
Thank you, baby.
Talking to the celebs. So kudos to you.
Representing us. Representing Survival Jobs. Always.
Yes. But I also just wanted to acknowledge that we lost the iconic Harry Belafonte today. We just found that out. So I just wanted to maybe just share something really quick about him. I know we don't have a lot of time, but, you know, he was a singer, an actor, producer, and activist who birthed the Calypso craze in the U.S. with his music, and he blazed trails for African-American performers, and he died at the age of 96. He was an award-winning Broadway performer and a versatile recording and conscious star of the 50s, and he was also, like, an activist. He was very good friends with Dr. Martin Luther King. And he was such an important voice in the 60s civil rights movement. So we just want to acknowledge his passing because he was such an icon. And
yeah.
We, you know, 96 is a long time to live. So that's a blessing.
Like, what a beautiful long life. And he accomplished so much.
Mm-hmm.
But a death is always sad, you know, no matter what age.
Yeah.
Crazy and weird and so happy at times and so sad at times and crazy.
Yeah.
I was just getting like real deep and I was like, okay, we got to keep this mic check moving today.
Yeah. So we were very fortunate last week to see Shucked, the new Broadway musical at the Nederlander Theater. And we had such a good time together, Samantha. Like the show was so fun. So entertaining.
Fun.
The music is so catchy. And like, yes, it's a simple show, right? I think John, our guest, talks about how it's like, you know, it's kind of like a little, like a Shakespearean type of comedy. Nothing like truly groundbreaking in its like delivery, but what I really enjoyed about it was just the diversity of the cast, right? And how good the music was and how you felt good leaving the theater. And I was like, and even you said it too, like, we're ready to see it again. I was like, when are we seeing this again?
I would go back tonight.
Same.
You know, I do feel like with some of these shows that are out this season, Shocked, Bad Cinderella, like, not all shows have to be like deep and heart-wrenching. Some shows you can just go to have a good time and like forget reality for a minute. Isn't that like the point of theater a lot of times, just to like get lost in the theater, which I think you do in deep shows as well. However, there's a difference from the way that you feel when you go watch a show that's just light and fluffy and fun and you just want to have a good time. I was crying. My face hurt after Shucks because I was laughing so hard. The all-star cast, like, everybody is giving,
oh my God, Alex Newell,
9 out of 10. Oof. Gosh,
chills. Like, I'm
screaming.
Yeah, and the show has so much heart to it. You know, it's about community. And
yeah,
I'll reference one more thing that John said, was like, it's funny without like making people feel bad. You know, there's no one being like picked on or bullied to make a good joke, you know? So, totally. So that's what I really enjoyed about it. And I think everyone should get tickets to see it ASAP. And see John, see our Gordy.
I'm surprised you didn't have a bruise on your arm. And I know I talked about this in the episode with John, but I have this problem, you guys. When I'm laughing, I like to like hit people. And so I thought every time I thought something was funny, I would like elbow Jason. Like, oh my God, Jason, that's so funny. I'm surprised.
I was just immersed in the world. It was, yeah. I was so entertained. Even the people next, like, I was bonding with the people to my left, and like at intermission, they were like, this is so freaking fun. Good.
Have fun, you know, and we definitely had fun in the show. So in conclusion, go see Shucked at the Nederlander, y'all. And we're so lucky we got to talk with John Bellman, who plays Gordy in the show. Straight from Tampa, IYKYK, you know what I'm saying? So he was an amazing guest. We're so hyped for you guys to listen to this episode.
Yeah. Do you want me to read his bio, or did you want to? Oh, I'm sorry.
Whatever you want. You want me to do it? You can do it. The world is your oyster, Jason.
No, I forgot what we said. See,
okay, you guys. John Bellman, who plays Gordy in Shucked. Past Broadway credits include Tootsie, Significant Other, and Journey's End. Some off-Broadway credits in theaters he's performed at includes The 39 Steps, various shows with Encores, Ars Nova, Roundabout, MTC, MCC, and Civilians. Some of his film credits include Confess, Fletch, Standing Up, Falling Down, Wolf of Wall Street, Revolutionary Road. Some TV credits include The Gilded Age, Riverdale, Good Behavior, Madam Secretary, and Blue Bloods. Some video game credits include Grand Theft Auto, Hearthstone, and the longtime voice of World of Warcraft. In his spare time, which, by the way, how does he have any? Did you just hear all of those credits? Just kidding, he says. Has two little kids, so there's no spare time. We love chatting with John, you guys.
And he's like, I love Riverdale. Like, the first couple seasons were like my shiznit. So that the fact that he was on that show was so great. Me and my friend Marvin were fangirling this week.
Yes, Riverdale. I just want to be honest.
Well, you should definitely watch.
Sorry, John. I'll add it to my list. Yeah. I'll add it to my list and then I'll follow up with John.
Yes, there we go. Love that.
Enjoy this episode, guys, and go see Shucked.
Enjoy. All right. Welcome to Survivor Jobs, the podcast, John. We are so excited to have you today.
Happy to be here.
Yes, and congrats on the success of Shucked that Samantha and I saw last week. But before we jump into that, you went to Wesleyan University, right?
I did, yeah. Did you?
No, I didn't go there technically, but I did a summer program called CCY there. So I was there for a summer in high school, where it was like a performing arts high school. So I was like chilling on Foss Hill, which I'm sure you know. And like,
Yeah. Oh, this is
great. Leon Belly.
Yeah.
And I was doing.
Yeah. Wow. You're like an original. Like, you know the deal.
Wow, so. Jason.
I know. And I saw that. I was like, oh my gosh, I got to drop that in the beginning. But
yeah, I sadly, this is going to directly age me, but I am going to miss, because of Shucked, my 20th college reunion. In like, you know, a few weeks or something. But So I have some friends, like old, you know, freshman dorm friends that are, hey, we're all going to go. And I can't go.
Yeah, but like, what an iconic excuse. You're like, I can't, I'm on Broadway. Yeah, like, sorry.
Yeah,
on Broadway. I can't come.
Yeah.
Like Jason said, we had the best time at Shocked. I was crying, laughing, like, could not stop laughing. And thank you. I wore yellow today for you, like corn.
Oh, that's good. That's
you
good.
Get it?
Yeah. I get it. I get it. I'm imagining that you're wearing green pants too to really complete the whole image, but I can't see below, but I'm just going to trust my instincts on that one.
Let's just keep imagining that the pants are green. You're right. Yeah. I did. I look like good. I'm a corn on the cob.
Yes.
I'm a corn on the cob, you guys. So we have a really fun connection with you and one of our past guests, Chad Hodge. He wrote Good Behavior, which you were reoccurring on.
That's
we
right.
We love him.
We love for Chad's
the best. We're just making all the connections.
Yeah, that's great. Wow. Wait, so Chad was on here. I haven't seen him in so long, probably since not long after we shot that show, which was now feels like an eternity ago. But
yeah,
everything feels like an eternity ago, doesn't it?
Correct.
That's right. The pandemic.
Yeah. Chad was on here in season one, which feels like an eternity ago. So
sure,
he sure was. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, he was great.
He's the sweetest person.
So sweet. So sweet. We just wanted to make all of our connections before we start asking you so many questions about survival jobs. We have so much we want to talk to you about, but let's talk about survival jobs first. The reason we're all here. Do you have a survival job from your past that's a favorite or one that was like super fun?
So the first thing that comes to mind when I think of survival jobs is when I first moved to New York, which I've been really lucky. Let's say that out front. Like I haven't had a lot of, you know, like I haven't really grounded out for years and years and years in a restaurant. I didn't work any food service in New York in this trip here. There was once a summer I spent in New York where I got my friend to get me a job at Dos Caminos for a single day and I trained and then I was like, I'm not actually going to stay in New York the summer, and I bailed and I feel bad about it. Sorry, Amelia.
Like the chips and salsa, I'm not about that life.
Yeah, I learned how to make the custom guac at the table and then I was like, that's enough, thank you. That's all I really was here for was the knowledge. But
do you still remember?
No, I wish. And also I'm actually allergic to avocado, so I can't even enjoy it.
Oh no.
Sad.
Yeah, good sad. Thing you left that
yikes
place. Yeah. But when I got to New York, I was kind of bequeathed a survival job by an actor friend who had gone to the same grad school as I did, and she worked at the what I believe is now defunct New York City Opera, which was in the building where in Lincoln Center where the ballet is in the Koch Theater. And they kind of split it with the ballet. And it was the kind of stepchild of the, you know, of the two operas that yikes. Are located in Lincoln Center. It was the not fancy one by comparison. And so I was a rehearsal assistant, which is kind of like in theater terms, an assistant stage manager of sorts. Mm. We did scheduling things. We just sat at a little desk. And I don't know if all opera is like this, but these opera singers needed to be called individually every day with like phone and like email was not sufficient to be told their precise schedule. So
what year was this?
This was 2007, six, something like that. I know.
Can't we just send one email blast with like a PDF schedule attached?
That's what you would think. And maybe that's different. I don't know if it was like a union thing. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But I was just like, I'm here for my checks and this is an easy job. So I'm going to do it. And we would call all these opera singers and then go around the rehearsal rooms and kind of sneak in and like post the schedule on the wall. And there was like a morning shift and an afternoon shift. And really it was great because it was just flexible. And I worked with two other actors who had gone to school with me, who were both these like, you know, starting like attractive young women, but the entire office was every man that worked there was gay and they were all men. So it was like just an
makes
office.
Makes sense. It attracts.
Yeah. And so I had the opposite experience of what they would normally have. And I was like the cute girl in the office. So I kind of like I'm going to leave early today to go to this audition. And it was a great, you know, I didn't mean to take advantage of anyone, but it was an excellent survival job. in that way.
Yeah, use what you got.
Office. Cute Girl in the Office is a great title for this episode.
Yeah. Cute Girl, yeah. Good, good.
Love it.
But yeah, it didn't pay hardly enough, but it was a nice thing. And I did it for basically that whole, like, it was really only 3 or 4 months that, you know, that's about as long as I could live on that job. But it was nice to have. Yeah, RIP, New York City Opera.
RIP. Well, let's flip it and reverse it. Do you have like a worst survival job story? Something that just like makes your stomach turn when you think back to it?
So like after that, I never had a regular survival job because I booked a show, like my first Broadway show not long after that, which was great.
Yes. And
I was like, oh, this world, it's going to be so easy. Turns out that's not the case. I struggled a lot after that, but... But after I had booked that show, I was like, I'm not going to do another job. But I would just pick up, you know, if there was an opportunity to like make some money, I would do it. And there'd be, and less than having a survival job, I learned to live a survival lifestyle and just would like lock it down. And just, if I knew I didn't have anything coming in, I would turn into a little hermit person and, you know, bring my own booze to the bar. Kind of like sneak the flask kind of thing, or like just do whatever I could to kind of continue my lifestyle, but in a cheaper
on a budget.
Way. Because I just had no money for so long. I've grown used to that, which is an excellent skill as a parent. But the darkest hour I think I finally had was I was about to start something, but I was running out of money and I just needed something. And, you know, last second, what can you get? And I signed up to be part of a medical trial.
Research?
Yeah, like a research trial at Columbia.
Boy.
I know. But this is the thing. So it's terribly asinine. All those things are so dull because they just have to, you know, it's a medical trial. So they're not designed to be very exciting, but they had to train you on the task that you had to do. And you were paid for the training as well as for the study. And I knew I wasn't going to do the study, but I did the training for like a couple of weeks or however long it was and took my checks and had to, but even that was so menial. It was the kind of, I think they were testing the effects of some, I think it was booze, but maybe some drug. We didn't take any of it. It was all placebo at the time, but you had to drink a little cup with like a very, very, very strong peppermint flavor, because that was apparently the only flavor that could hide any other flavor. And so you drink this little peppermint flavored cup, not knowing if it's laced with something or totally just weird peppermint drink. And then you have to do the dumbest like computer data entry. Like there's a 7 on the screen, so press the number 7 or complete the sequence 4, 5, 6, and it's just the most mind-numbing tasks, but eventually your abilities get impaired, I guess is the idea.
And then you have an aftertaste of peppermint.
Well, that was my like meth.
Well, you know, maybe they did in the study. I just I never got
you
there,
just so. Like signed off, you're like, I'll do anything for the check today.
So I did that for like you know a week or however long it was, and then I was like, I'm starting my job, I'm out. So not an honorable way to go, but probably
you gotta
the bleakest
do what you gotta do.
I had many years ago, thankfully.
It's a capitalist country. You gotta look out for yourself.
Survival lifestyle. I love that. And that's exactly what that is.
Yeah.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, so you got very lucky. We only had a handful of survival jobs because you got great performance jobs.
Right.
Do you remember the point in your life when you were a kid and you were like, I'm going to be a performer? Do you know how old you were? And was your like first dream Broadway, or were you like, I want to be a movie star?
No, I started doing plays in high school, as I think a lot of people do. And
yes.
I did it all through school and really loved it. It was like my sophomore year of high school. And I did a lot of stuff. I always in school was participating in a lot of activities and clubs and sports and whatever. And I was a nerdy kid. So being my friend, Matt, convinced, whose older brother had been in the theater department, convinced me and my friend Michael to audition for Romeo and Juliet. And Matt never showed up. Michael and I did. We were in the play and we were like, this is great. There's like girls around. We're like part of something. We feel like cool, but like we're not cool because we're part of the theater club. But we feel cooler than we did in a certain way. And then I just kind of stuck with it. And so it wasn't really, though, until I was graduating college, which I majored in government and French. I was not at Wesleyan, as we discussed.
Yes.
I don't know if we were recording then or not, but I guess we were.
Yeah, that was, good. Yeah.
So we'll bring it back.
Hill.
Right, Fox Hill. I didn't know what I was going to do when I was graduating. And I, again, did theater all through school, but didn't really know that was a thing, that like a professional actor was not something that was on my radar. And my parents and my family, everyone, my dad's a lawyer. My mom was mostly a mom. Everyone in my family has like what I would call Fisher Price jobs, things that are really easy to understand for a toddler, you know, yeah. Businessman, fireman, police officer, doctor, you know, like all these just regular jobs. And so I didn't really know anyone that was an actor. And then someone I'd done a play with just kind of assumed that I was going to be an actor and started asking me about what that was like after school and like, was I going to go to grad school or, and I didn't really know that was a thing. And that was when I started, I was like, oh, maybe is it, you can do that. You can like become an actor and not be the son of a famous person or related to somebody that's already got it going on. Like that normal people can do that. And then I applied to graduate school at the very end of my senior year of college. Like I sent in every single application overnight express mail, paying way too much money for it.
You got money.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, I was like, Dad, can I have $200? What for? Nothing. Don't worry about it. And then finally like auditioned for all these schools kind of on a whim. I just called a friend of mine who went to an undergrad program that was geared toward school. And it was like, what are the good ones? And just applied blindly and got into a couple of places. And thank God I did. And I went to school in Denver. And that was when I finally was like, oh, okay. There are regular people around here. We're at the Denver Center. There's like working actors. For the first time I was around them. And that's when I was realizing, oh, this is possible. This is a thing that people live normal lives and do. So,
yeah.
But yeah, no, like I always assumed I would be on stage because that was all I had ever done. I didn't think it was I never thought I would be on Broadway. I never thought I would do musicals.
Oh, really?
Oh, no, not at all. No. I mean, I did it in high school, but.
You're such a great singer, though.
Yeah. Just,
well, bizarre. Thanks. I've tricked you yet again.
Especially when we go to Tampa.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That was so funny. You guys got to see Shock to get the inside jokes about
Tampa. Yeah. Sorry. I'm talking in code for all of you people that did not get shocked.
Yes. Okay. Well, I have a two-parter for you, John. Okay. Speaking of Shucked, it had its world premiere at the Pioneer Memorial Theater in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Yep.
What was that experience like performing in a show that's in a community that's so different from New York City? And I'll ask the other question after.
Okay, great. It was, we weren't sure how it was going to go. And, you know, Shucked is not particularly you know, it doesn't wear it's like politics on its sleeve. It's not like a heavy like issue show or something. So it wasn't like a controversial show in that way, but it was, you know, there's a lot of jokes. It's really great for a New York crowd, and we just didn't know how it was going to play in Salt Lake City. And I think it was actually great because first of all, the audiences there were really appreciative of having something new, which was cool. And the theater had a lot of people that were interested in having, you know, seeing something cool and new and fresh. And but I think that it was like just racy enough to not to be enjoyable, to like, now it's okay that I'm laughing at this, right? And I think that they were a little shocked at times, but by the end of the show always were with us and never could quite, you know, we weren't sure what they were going to be like, but they always came around in the end. And so it actually ended up being really great. And like, oh, this is beyond New York. This has got a really great life to it. And even amongst these people that are mostly conservative, you know, a lot of Mormons and also a lot of, there's a really strong, like, I don't know if it's counterculture exactly, but like the opposite of whatever conservative Mormonism is out in Salt Lake City. There's a lot of, you know, liberal theater, artsy people, especially in kind of downtown where we were. So, and we're on a college campus, so we got some college kids. And the greatest show we ever had there was a high school matinee, which they went wild.
Oh my God.
Like being in a rock concert, like when people would kiss. And when people would, you know, say swears and things like that. Yeah.
Or the kidney stone joke that.
Yeah.
I was laughing for like 20 minutes. You probably remember, you probably heard like the big black man laughing at the last Wednesday show.
That's when you were there. I see.
Who was laughing? Like, I couldn't stop laughing. Yeah. I don't want to say it on air to ruin it, but it's.
Yeah.
I don't remember the joke.
Oh, I'll tell you after. I don't want to ruin it for our audiences. You got to see it. And then they'll laugh for 20 minutes after, too. Okay. were there any major changes story-wise compared to Utah versus Broadway?
Story-wise, I mean, generally, no. But we did do, like, the top of Act 2 changed. The beginnings and ends of all the acts changed a lot. Mm. Like, the meat in the middle, like, the basic arc of the story. Because the story is not ultimately that complicated. It's like a Shakespeare comedy in the way that, you know, there's some stuff that gets mistaken, some people don't like each other who end up liking each other, there's some, you know, this and that. It's not designed exactly, there's, you know, it's not designed to be whodunit. Oh, can you figure out this Agatha Christie mystery? it's not that kind of show. But so it's really about relationships and enjoying the ride and the jokes along the way and kind of moving the story from point A to point B. And so the opening number changed. The song was the same, but they reworked it and built it out into it was a much more kind of casual entry into the show, a little more offhand, a little more informal. It wasn't quite as choreographed and as kind of, you know, gets a little Broadway-y and a little dancey, which I think people needed to realize what world we're in, how, because I think it took some time to be like, is this serious? Is this silly? Is this, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. The end of Act 1 changed a lot. It didn't used to be quite as Music Man-y as it is now.
Yeah, I was thinking that. Your character
Music
is
Manic? Music
is very Harold Hill.
Right. Yeah. And the top of Act 2 changed up until, even in New York, like 3 days before we opened, or like, you know, frozen. So it had, my favorite bit that I did in the entire show was in the former version of that number that many of our preview audiences got to see, but now has gone, in which I spent the entirety of that opening number of Act 2 slowly pushing a rock across the stage the entire length of the song. And then it went away because the other thing made a little better sense. So, what you sacrifice for story, you know, I miss it.
A rock moment.
Yeah. It led to my favorite piece of, which I don't get a lot of fan mail, which is a woman sent me a little tombstone for the bit. It had, you know, she drew a little picture of me pushing the rock and said RIP with the dates on it that it lived. And I was so touched.
So nice.
And felt so seen. You know, she saw the show twice, once with it, once without it, and felt so sad about it that she felt compelled to share me You shared with me this. You know,
that is so sweet.
It's darling. It's on my dressing stand still. So,
hello, listeners. John just said he doesn't get a lot of fan mail, so let's go. Send it on over.
Yeah.
What theater is this? I almost said the last.
The Niederlander Theater.
The Niederlander, yes. Obviously.
208 West 41st.
Yes.
Attention to John Bellman. Thank you. Yeah. So we've talked so much this episode about how hysterical the show is, how we were crying laughing. Why do you think audiences are really loving this? And I know there's been like repeat customers coming back. And what do you think it is about Shucked that's making people scream, loving, laughing, all of it?
I think that it's, first of all, that's, I think, what people want now. Like, I know it's what I want. I know it's an easy show to go to. It's an easy show to go to with mixed company, with family, with out-of-towners, with, you know, different ages, different groups. It really goes down easy, and it's funny without being mean, exactly, which I think is really, you know, novel these days. Like, it has a lot of heart in it, and it shows its heart. And so I think that going into something with low or no expectations, people end up coming out having such a great time because they didn't realize maybe how good it felt to sit in a room with people, which is already, you know, not that prevalent in our lives these days anymore, but to be in a room with people and kind of share the joint exhalation of breath at this like funny thing that happened and the kind of community experience that creates for people. I think it's a really addictive thing that's why I think why we've had a lot of repeat customers, because, you know, if you think about, for me at least, the movies in my life or the shows in my life that I can watch again and again and again, it's not, you know, like there are movies that I like, I love Requiem for a Dream, but I'm not going to watch that more than, you know, once, maybe twice.
Yeah.
It's a hard pill to swallow.
Heavy. Yeah.
Joke intended, but.
Not watching Schindler's List every weekend.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But like, you know, it's why we all put on reruns of The Office for forever, or like I could watch Groundhog Day every single day of my life because it's funny and heartfelt and charming. Yeah. And, you know, it's, and that's the kind of show that we have, which I think we were overdue for. But, and it's new, it's original. It's, you know, it's not based on anything other than people that wanted to have a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So fun.
I guess without, this is my question or yours, Samantha?
That's you.
I think I'm taking your questions.
No, we got a little flip-flop. I'm happy.
Without any major spoilers, you have a favorite part of the show that you look forward to every night?
Oh, it kind of changes a little bit based on the type of audience we have, because different crowds are into different kinds of, you know, different kinds of humor. But one of my first best barometers in the show is my kind of only scene alone with Andrew Durand, with Bo.
Oh, yeah.
Where
it's
you know, it's just a book scene. There's no music in it. There's no anything, but it's a place to really feel like what the crowd is like and really get to, you know, act in the scene with Andrew, who I think is so funny and so great.
So
I mean, I really love everyone. They're like, we're all, but that's like the first moment in the show, or one of the first moments that I get to really feel the crowd and like understand what's happening, because I make a late entrance. So I don't get the same kind of, you know, navigation of the whole thing, but that's one of my favorite moments. And then also the big bar scene at the end.
Oh my gosh.
Where we all
so
like
funny.
Right, spoiler alert, get a little drunk. And have a little drunk scene. It's always really fun to do.
I loved that scene. I also loved that big dance number with the wine barrels.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that was Samantha's favorite part.
I was screaming about it. I kept like elbowing Jason the whole show during that number. I was like, oh my God, I love this part.
Yeah. Yeah. So great. Shout out to Sarah Glebe, our amazing choreographer, who like made thing. You know, we've gone through so many iterations of that thing too, and they've done all kinds of other cool barrel tricks that make it in for a little while and go away. And I don't know, it's great though. I watch that number every night too, because I'm about to enter anyway, but I come down a little early just so I can
see
the
magic.
See the magic. We love the magic. This has been so great chatting with you. We have a couple of more questions, and then right. I don't know if you got the heads up, but we always end each episode with a really fun game.
Okay.
So I hope you're ready to play.
Ready. Ready to play.
So we've really enjoyed the show, obviously. We've been, I feel like, screaming about that this whole episode, but we also really enjoyed how diverse and well-rounded the cast was. What do you think Broadway can continue to do to continue to keep the diversity in casts and spaces where it's not always just like in your face? Like, we're not needing to talk about why this is diverse. It just is, because that is life in any sort of space. So what do you think we can continue to do to keep that going?
I mean, I think that something that our show does really well is that, and I it's really a testament to the creators of the show, is that really these parts, any of them can be played by anyone. There's no descriptor of people other than, you know, personality types, or someone thinks someone is stubborn or handsome or funny, or, you know, and those things are traits that can be attributed to any kind of person, any gender, any age, anything. And so I think that having roles like that exist and encouraging the development of that stuff is great. And then taking the opportunities when there is a chance for anyone could do this, to put someone in there that maybe doesn't always get the chance to, like, actually, you know, have casting directors like Stephen Koppel, who cast our show, that can think, oh, you know, actually there's nothing that says this can't be this person. So let's put up this wonderful person that we know is so great and would crush this role. And so I think that more of that, and maybe more original stuff, I think helps with that, because it allows you to start from the base of, we're creating this show, we're deciding what the world of this thing is, not reinterpreting something maybe that someone has a preconceived notion about, that there's going to be some conflict about, well, he shouldn't be doing that, or she shouldn't be in that show, or they're not supposed to play that part. That you'd make something from the ground up and you just tell people this is what it is and they will believe it. So I think that helps too, but hopefully more original and more just broad, you know, snaps. People as people.
Snaps again.
People as people.
Yeah. Like, I can't, if Shucked is blessed to run for a long time or have tours and do all that stuff, I can't wait to see who ends up in the show, because it really could be anybody. And it's not going to be, I don't think, just a cookie cutter of me that is the next person who plays Gordy, or vice versa for all the other parts. Cause you really can just, you know, and like, especially if it goes to schools or to regional theaters, like, literally anybody can do this. You could cast it all with octogenarians and it would be fine. Like,
Gordy has to be like a hot octogenarian, I guess. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like a male Rue McClanahan, but, you know.
I love the name Gordy also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I told somebody, I was like, we're having Gordy on our show. Gordy.
Yeah. Gordy. Yeah, the sexiest name around.
Gordy.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Iconic.
Oh, man.
Okay, well, last question before the really fun game.
Really? Yeah.
I must say that the first few seasons of Riverdale, I am like a not-so-guilty, this is a not-so-guilty, guilty pleasure of mine. And my friend Marvin, he like loves it as well. And you were recurring on that show as FBI Agent Adams, giving Archie lots of shit.
Yeah.
So that's super cool. But do you have a kind of art outside of Shuck that's really feeding your soul artistically, like another show or another movie?
Like something that I'm book? Like taking in, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, first of all, I have two little kids. I don't get to watch nearly as much like late
night TV.
How old
are they?
I have a 2.5-year-old and a 10-month-old.
Oh my God.
You've been busy. Zinky.
Yeah, busy. So the 10-month-old is at the doctor with my wife right now, and the 2.5-year-old is in daycare. So I you know, have the house to myself for the briefest of moments. But
yeah, you look less tired than I do. Like, congrats.
Yeah, right.
I just have me. I'm like, hello.
Well, it's I've been up for 4.5 hours, so it's, it helps. But so yeah, but I mean, I have to pick shows that if my wife and I can watch together, or, and I have my own shows, but the one that I watched on my own recently when she was out of town during tech was, I ripped through The Last of Us, which is not a novel thing to say, but it's such, the thing that I loved about that show is how, in addition to just being really smart and really, you know, I didn't play the video game that it's based on at all. I didn't really know anything about it, but the way the story is told and the way they let actors act is so great. The people in that show, so many of them just appear in a single episode. And like, there's a woman, for anyone who's seen the show, there's a, wherever they, maybe it's Indonesia, where they first discover.
Oh, in the second episode?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And the woman who's like the professor, the head of, you know, and she is.
They're CDC, right? Like,
amazing. Like, and has another, you know, has three scenes maybe, and carries the weight of the entire stakes of the show on her face for just a second, and we understand that this is a nasty, global, serious, irreparable problem by just the way that she answers a question with someone, and then we never see her again. And like, that's brilliant stuff. And then so many other actors that, like, we all know that are come in and out of the thing, but that thing really was like, oh, we make great TV still, and there's really great places for people to trust performances and like still tell great stories without like overworking plot or over, you know, just relying on tricks and stuff. So yeah, that was a nice show for me.
Love that. I need to,
and then everything it. Else that I'll catch up on sometime when, you know, whenever we go out of town again. But
I'm behind on that one. You guys were just talking and I was like,
It's well, it's only like 9 episodes too. That's why it's manageable. I was like, okay, I can.
Yeah.
I can pull this one off.
Yeah,
I recommend Beef if you haven't.
Oh, yes, I was about to start it, but my wife didn't want to watch it, and I was like, okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I think
she wasn't feeling it that night, which is fine. Yeah, that means I get to watch it, and I heard.
Yes. Well, you need to text me what you think about it, because I watched it, and I'm embarrassed to say I haven't done this since the beginning of the pandemic. I watched it all in one night on a Friday night. I was just
okay.
12 half an hour episodes. I was watching from like 7 o'clock to 2 o'clock in the morning.
That's the way.
Listen, that is the way, because then you just get it all out of the way and you don't have to think about it.
I know. And those half hour episodes are like, it's like those books with chapters that are about 6 pages long. You're like, I can do one more.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah. And then it's 2 a.m. and you're like,
uh oh. I just read the old Da Vinci Code.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I read that book in like 2 days.
I know, that's what I mean. That was the one. Yeah. Like, yeah, these chapters are so little. I'll just, it's okay, right? It's five, man.
It's fine. Exactly. Eyes are bloodshot red. You're like tearing up.
Yeah.
So good.
Gosh, iconic.
This is so much fun. You're amazing to talk to. I feel like we just started talking, and
I know, right?
It's great conversation.
I want to go. Why don't we have more questions, Sam?
Yeah.
Listen, I didn't make. Hey, you made this document.
It's true. John's like, no, I got like a half an hour of alone time.
That's right.
Let me get out of here. So we'll make the game really fun and really quick, and then
Great. I don't know anything about this game, so
it's a little true or false game.
It's a little corny. It's a little corny game.
Sure.
I was trying to think of a good name for it, and the name I have so far, maybe you have something better for us. It's Pop Culture Corn.
Okay. Sure.
I tried my best.
That's good.
We're gonna tell you some stuff about some, you know, books or maybe some songs or some movies that all have to do with corn. And you tell us if it's true or false.
Okay, this is
you have a 50-50 chance. Everything's true or false.
Okay, and there's a bonus at the end too, so don't worry.
We love a bonus.
Great.
Okay, first question, true or false? The 2021 Netflix movie Corn has a synopsis that goes like this. Stranded in a rural area, two teens make friends with locals on Halloween, but soon run into a cult called Corn, Collective Order of Recreational Necro... Jason? What is that word?
Necrophilanthropists?
Thank you. that have chosen this area to perform human taxidermy. A field of screams you can never leave.
By pure detail alone, I'm going to say true. That's got to be true.
It's true.
That's crazy.
Correct. And thank you for helping me.
That's actually what Chuck is based on. I was lying about it being a
Well, here we go.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's on Netflix, so after beef, you know.
Right. You would recommend it to me, I'm sure. Yeah. If you liked beef, you'll love corn. It's just a full dinner followed by cake.
You know. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Next one is Corn is King. That's the title. It's a 2007 documentary film released in October 2007 that follows college friends Ian Chaney and Curtis Ellis as they move from Boston to Green, Iowa to grow and farm an acre of corn. True or false? Corn is King.
Corn is King. I'm going to say true again.
Oh, that one actually is false. It's actually called Corn King.
Okay, well.
So, I mean,
it's how can be half? Can you be half for that?
Yeah, that can be a half point. Congrats.
A half point in the half game point. Where there's only two choices.
A half point for that
this
one.
This is a very generous game. I'm glad there's no money at stake. But.
Okay, next one. EGOT winner Whoopi Goldberg won her first Tony Award. Won her Tony Award for playing the lead Miss Moffat in the 1983 Broadway revival play of The Corn is Green.
I don't think she did because like we looked up The Corn is Green because the original production of The Corn is Green was in the Niederlander Theater. It was called something else at the time. But I literally was Googling playbills for The Corn is Green because I wanted to get one printed for the green room. I can't remember who the original star was, but Whoopi was not in that, I don't think. So I'm going to say
correct. Yes. You're correct. It starred Cicely Tyson and Peter Gallagher, but it only ran for 32 performances, which is my age.
Thanks for sharing.
You're welcome. No problem. Happy to be here.
Okay. The voice star, Blake Shelton, released a song entitled Corn from his 2021 album, Corn. True or false?
I'm gonna say true. No, wait, is that really? Oh, corn in a tuck, corn in a field, corn in the bottom of a moonshine still. I heard him singing a song about corn on Instagram the other day because our Shucked account shared it, but I didn't know about the album is called Corn. Come on, Blake. I mean, I'm approved, but like.
I was Googling. I was like, I listened to it. I was like, this is wild at 3 o'clock this morning.
Wow.
Corn from corn.
Okay, Blake. Gotta love
Battle
Blake.
Trash, Blake.
Okay, one more and then a bonus.
Okay.
As of March 2023, there are 11 Children of the Corn films.
Is that? No, I'm going to say false. Because that cat.
It's true.
11? What are you talking about?
Listen, I'm just reading the document. Jason,
aren't these kids grown up by now? Are they adults of the corn?
I guess the adults of the corn have kids of the corn. Kids of the corn? I don't know.
Yeah, generations.
Maybe they're
of the
living.
Corn.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Wow. You got a half point on the other one, and you can redeem yourself with the bonus. Don't be stressed.
Yes. And this one is not true or false. So you just have to know. I hope you've been paying attention, John. Okay. Which legendary country diva stopped by backstage to visit the cast of Shucked after another amazing performance recently?
Was it Reba McEntire? Oh, yeah.
Ding, ding.
Yeah.
Correct.
That's right.
Said, I hope you've been paying attention, John.
Yeah, yeah. Reba, star of one of the first Broadway shows I ever saw.
Oh, my gosh.
Wait, yeah, which one?
Annie, Get Your Gun. I saw her in Annie, Get Your Gun in like 2000 or something like that. But yeah, I was here for a summer and that was one of the shows that I crammed in. In the Marquee Theater that I went on to work in Tootsie. Amazing.
Yes.
Look at that.
Full circle moment.
I didn't get to tell Reba all that. But
you should have. She seemed so
Reba,
nice.
Can she I was so a nice. Minute of your time?
Yeah, excuse me, Reba.
I tell you, I was in Tootsie at this theater, which I saw, you know.
Yeah.
You would have loved it.
Yeah, you should just watch this podcast interview and then wait to the end and then you'll get it.
Yeah, And then maybe she wants to be a guest too. You never know.
Yeah.
We stand Reba. Yeah. John, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, y'all.
Today for all the laughs. Yeah. For just doing your time with us and your time.
Yeah, thanks for coming. Thanks for spreading the shucked gospel. So
we had a great time.
We appreciate it.
We had a great time. I have my little shucked cup that I got my box of soda in, and you know,
she did. Yeah,
I will savor that.
Yeah, good.
Can you give us the little secret of like, what is the corn smell like? How are we getting the theater to smell like corn? Or was I like making it up?
I think you were imagining that. I think
Jason, the theater smelled like corn.
Even
right?
The people next to us were like, "It smells like corn in here."
Maybe I don't know what kind of concession food they sell. Maybe they sell popcorn. Maybe they make popcorn.
Oh, maybe it was. We didn't go to the. Was there?
I didn't. I don't know. No. I know there were drinks, but I didn't see
there
the.
Definitely are drinks.
I feel like I would have heard a lot of popcorn crunching during the show. Right. If there was popcorn being sold. But
John, can you ask somebody and get back to us? Because now I'm really concerned that there's something wrong.
Yeah.
No, it was the people next to us too. We're like, yeah, it smells like popcorn in here.
We're having a corn-induced stroke. Yeah.
Yes. Jeez Louise.
It was so scary.
Yeah.
John, where can people find you on social media if they're not fans of you yet and they became fans of you during this interview?
Oh, they can find me everywhere with at John Behlmann. It's just my name, J-O-H-N-B-E-H-L-M-A-N-N, mostly on Instagram, but it's on some of the other things that I don't do quite as often, but Instagram is my main jam. So,
are you a TikToker?
No, I mean, I have a TikTok, but I did very briefly go viral with a video of my parents' Christmas decorations a couple of years ago on one of only TikToks ever, but they have 25-foot inflatable soldiers that I had
like Nutcracker
inflating. Like Nutcracker soldiers, yeah, just like
wow.
Yeah, they got them off a car dealer. My mom bought them used, and they used them at their house still. Like
no, she didn't.
Yeah, she did.
That's iconic. Where's your childhood home?
Like in Texas, in Houston. Yeah.
Jason and I worked a survival job together at a Tex-Mex restaurant.
Oh, love a Tex-Mex restaurant.
If so, then you got to go to Javelina.
Oh, yeah. I've been to Javelina.
Oh, my gosh. Maybe
you were there.
I mean, we were there pre-pandemic. We haven't been there since 2019. So.
All right.
We're passing that queso and that guac. Oh, you don't eat guac stuff, but yeah, everything
Do
else.
Do not give him the guac.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah. Can't get him sick.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yes. Okay. And if you are a John fan and you're tuning into us for the first time, follow us at Survival Jobs Pod on Instagram and Twitter, on Facebook at Survival Jobs a Podcast. Shoot us an email at survivaljobspod@gmail.com. You can follow my boy Jason at Jason A. Coombs and me at Sammy Toots. Not to be confused with the musical Tootsie that John was in.
Right.
Just Toots, not
just
Tootsie.
Yeah.
My last name is Tootsalo.
Oh, I see.
People call me Tootsie.
Right.
Yeah.
We're basically like the same. You were in Tootsie, I am Tootsie.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got shocked. We are all completely shocked.
That's right. We're all totally shocked. So we're the same.
Awesome.
And great. I think you did a great job on the game. I know we didn't address that yet, but I think you did a great job.
Oh, thank you. Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
Appreciate it.
100. You got the bonus, right?
So, great.
We'll get an invite to the season 3 premiere of Survival Jobs, a podcast. No idea when that is.
Terrific. Can't wait.
Got it. Thank you. This was so much fun.
All right. Thanks, y'all.
Have a great show today.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.